Hey, this is Joe Sanfilippo. You're listening to the Geekcast Radio Network.
You don't mean to get to them all today?
Yeah, I do.
Hey! Let's go! Open up!
You have turned into Remote Control's latest episode. Listen in as the GCRN crew talks TV from 2000 to now. With pilot and season premiere episodes, finishing finales, and season passes as well. Now get ready to change the channel with your remote control as we bring you the latest and greatest in the world of television. All from the Geekcast Radio Network, we are all remote controlled.
All I'm asking is that you keep an open mind. Danny's already set some space aside behind the skee ball games.
No.
Hell no.
Yes, indeed.
So what do you say, Maestro? Huh? Is it unanimous?
You know, I worked in a box factory one summer in high school, and I haven't seen one of these in years.
Trip down memory lane. That's perfect.
You know what this is? It's a corrugator. It uses steam and salt to crimp craft paper for cardboard.
And it makes a hell of a racket doing it, which is great, right?
No. Steam and salt. When this thing is running, it's like a jungle in here.
Shit. That'll ruin the product.
Well, you can't just pop down to Costco and get a couple dehumidifiers? Wait. Fine. Moving on.
Hello and welcome to Remote Control. This is the final season pass episode for Breaking Bad. We've made it through all five seasons. Yay! I'm, of course, TFG and Mike. Joining me is Ryan the Uneven Flow Merkley. Hello, sir.
Made it through. I'm going to watch them again now.
Oh, hell no. I already removed it from Netflix.
Removed it? I'm pretty sure you can't do that. I think only Netflix can do that.
Oh, Dumbass! I meant I removed it from my list on Netflix. Just because it's on there doesn't mean I have to have it in my list of things to watch. Alright, Breaking Bad, Season 5 is probably... Season 4 and Season 5 are probably the best seasons out of the whole damn thing.
I don't know, it's tough. I really like Season 3 as well.
I don't know. So Season 5, we've got pretty much the same main and recurring cast. It doesn't really... The only changes are when people die.
Well, and the addition of... Lydia's a regular.
Yeah.
And then we've got the white supremacists and Todd, so...
Yeah, and Todd's a regular now as well. Other guests...
He's a real breath of fresh air.
No, he's not. I swear, I've seen that guy before somewhere.
Yeah, he's been in a couple things, but I think most notably it was Friday Night Lights.
Yeah, I never saw that show, but I swear, like, just...
He's been in a bunch of things.
Yeah.
He's actually done some voice over work. If I had the window open, I'd list them off. But yeah, he's in a fair amount of things.
Yeah, a few... I think the few reasons, at least in Breaking Bad Season 5, why I kept... thinking I recognized him was because
Fargo,
I thought at the time he was trying to impersonate Matt Damon in Good Will Hunting, because for a few moments he sounded like Damon's character in Good Will Hunting. But anyway,
Matt Damon generally a little less murderous.
Obviously.
He was also in Battleship. I vaguely remember that. Yeah. By the way, speaking of Netflix, man, does it ever not know what to recommend to me? Because I remember when Battleship got added, it told me, here's a movie you might enjoy. And I remember thinking, no. Here's a movie there's no chance of me enjoying.
Thanks, yeah.
He's on Fargo, if you've seen that. He's in the series. I forgot about that. He's been in a ton of things, though. NCIS, Grey's Anatomy, CSI, Judging Amy, Cold Case, Fear Itself.
Mm-hmm.
Any of those? No?
Yeah,
Super
no.
Teenage Wish, I'm sure you watched all of that.
Funny.
Although he was only a background character.
Walker, Texas Ranger. No, I have not seen that episode. I probably did. He was Tommy Harbour in Varsity Blues in 99. Wow, I did not remember that guy at all. Well, he was in a Matt Damon film. All the Pretty Horses.
Maybe it was a stand-in.
Oh, God. Other characters in recurring for season five, we've got Skinny Pete and Badger are back. We'll get to that. That shocked the hell out of me that they came back, but what they came back as.
Yeah, I love their appearances in the film. Anyway, the other one that's notable too is, I mean, Mike comes back as a regular character at this point.
Yeah, it only took him 4.5 years.
Yeah, well, he's in pretty much all the episodes up until something happens. So until he goes to Belize.
Aww.
What? That's what Saul said. Anyway.
Yeah. Oh, Saul. Oh, poor Saul.
Yeah, although he's great in this season, but yeah.
At least he grew a backbone at the end.
Well, I think a lot of that too is the mystique around Walt is dead as he's coughing and he's becoming frail from the cancer. Before we get into it, overall, one of my favorite things was in this season in particular, Walt doesn't solve any of his problems through violence himself, because, I mean, he can't. And
not until the very end, yeah.
Yeah, but, well, no, even then, though, he doesn't solve it himself. I mean, he uses science and that kind of thing, because he's not a, you know, he's not a guy who's going to run in and shoot everybody and, you know, John Woo double pistol, you know, or come in with a shotgun and be the Punisher or something like that. I mean, I appreciated that because that was one of the fears, because when we open with Live Free or Die, the opening episode, we get Walt in the 52 years old.
Mm-hmm.
And he, you know, and we get he's got the gun in the trunk. And it's a giant, like, what is it, a 50 cal or 60 cal? I can't remember. Oh, man. Also, I don't know my guns all that well.
It's one of them.
Yes, it's a large gun. And that's not true. I do know my guns really well. Sorry, it's an M60, that's right.
That's what you said, it was an M60, yeah.
Which is not a lightweight weapon.
No. Well, Walter White, even cancer-free Walter White, could not lift that by himself.
Yeah.
Unless I get a visual cue saying that it's the future or the past or 18 hours before or whatever, sometimes I get confused with this show when they're flash forwards and flashbacks.
To be fair, this one was pretty clear. I mean, they show the license plate, which is obviously not Albuquerque. He comes in and it's 50. And does the 52, and then we cut to him with his family where he's doing 51. So we know, you know.
But I think for me, the reason why I didn't know what the hell was going on was because apparently his cancer has come back, which makes his hair grow back for some odd reason.
Well, no, he just stops doing chemo.
Oh, well, there's that too.
Because obviously he can't just go into a hospital and go, "Hi, I'm Walter White." Also, I mean, his cancer at this point is A, terminal, and B, he's in, you know, he's kind of past the point of no return, unfortunately. Well, yeah, anyway.
Yeah, he's pretty much past the point of no return at this point, but yeah, we'll get there. This first episode, let's see.
It's mostly just tying up the last season. I mean, you know, Walt and Jesse need to get Gus's old laptop erased. And, you know, Mike is in on it because obviously Mike used to be a police officer.
Yeah.
And, I mean, that's sort of the main thing. Some behind-the-scenes stuff. This one was directed by Michael Slovis, who was the director of... Well, I mean, he did the majority of the visuals and the camera work and everything else for the show. And so, you know, it's nice for him to get to, it seems like everybody got in on Breaking Bad at some point or another.
Yeah.
But, you know, he would turn this into, you know, he's directed two episodes of Game of Thrones now. And so, I don't know, it's, and he's another one that he had had a good career before Breaking Bad. And now he directs on, you know, Game of Thrones. He's done Better Call Saul, et cetera, et cetera. But, you know, it's another one that's an awful lot of people have had careers spin out of the show. Michelle MacLaren, who directs the second episode, desperately should be doing movies because she does amazing action sequences. And she's also, even on episodes she doesn't necessarily direct, she's responsible for most of the amazing time-lapse sequences Breaking Bad does. You know, when they set stuff to music and you get the sort of montage of everything going on, that's generally always her. And it's always really well done.
That's awesome.
But anyway.
The first episode, Jesse's finally using his brain. Loving that. Jesse's probably the smartest he's ever been in this season.
Yeah, bitch, magnets. Sadly, one of the last instances of yeah, bitch.
Yeah, bitch! Magnets! Oh!
But anyway.
Sadly, one of the most clear-cut instances of it. He does use it throughout the season, and he does use it in the finale a couple of times. But
he's gotten a lot brighter.
Yeah,
and he's grown up an awful lot since that first season.
My one thought about episode one's plot here: why the hell is there a tricycle in the police evidence room?
How many police evidence rooms have you been into?
I've seen a lot of them on TV and movies, and I just don't, you know, think guns and drugs and all this other stuff. I don't think kids' tricycles.
I don't know. They have, like, whatever evidence. Maybe it's the... maybe it's a second bike from the one kid who shot Combo. I don't know. Anyway.
Oh, that's just so wrong.
Well, of course, he was killed later on.
Yeah.
Maybe that's what he got killed on.
Wow. Walt intimidating Saul was interesting. And then at the end of this episode, that is the most awkward hug in TV history.
Yeah, pretty much. And I liked the intimidation of Saul because, of course, we get a callback into it in the second last episode. This was a good way to start the season. It's kind of it's fun to see the episodes where Walt and Jesse are kind of working towards something. And I like that they do that again in a few episodes, but then, of course, they turn it on its head at the end of that one. But anyway, so the second episode, which is Madrigal, we get the setup for Lydia, who's a new character to the series. And first of all, I didn't know what was going on with the opening sequence in this, and then it all made sense when you realize that, okay,
this is where
Los Hermanos.
Yeah.
And the guy there is, committing suicide because he apparently was in on it with Gus, quite clearly. And, the DEA is still trying to figure out what happened with Gus and all these other things, which, obviously they would, but...
Yeah.
And then aside from that, we get Walt and Jesse trying to figure out a new business plan. They need a methylamine supplier, which is where Lydia comes in. And Mike goes along with them here fairly reluctantly. I think he's mostly looking out for Jesse at this point.
Yeah, he doesn't want anything to do with Walter.
No, because Mike's smart, and he's smarter than most of the people on the show.
Yeah.
Although, to be fair, he's also older and wiser, and he's kind of seen it all. I mean, it's something he tells Walt much earlier in the series, that he's seen people like him and like Gus before, et cetera, et cetera. So. Mm.
Jesse's breakdown in this episode is just hauntingly eerie and amazing, honestly. I mean, Aaron Paul kicked that character's... emotions into high gear. And of course, they have to bring in the creep factor here with Walter trying to reassure him. All of my notes regarding Walt and Jesse for the first like five episodes of season five, creepy. The last note I have for episode two, Walter at the end, oh my god, too creepy.
Well, a lot of it is because we know now, you know, how manipulative Walt is post the Lily of the Valley scene at the end of season four.
Yeah. We get Mike's backstory in this because by the next episode, Mike's dead. But I loved finally seeing Mike's backstory because he ends up in, was it AP? What?
Mike's not dead until the middle of season five, by the way.
Oh, well.
Yeah. Man, you've jumped way forward.
I thought it was, but we get get his backstory in episode two, right? Because he's in the he's in the police station, and we see that he's not going to tell them anything, and then Hank goes through various things and places of where he's been, and then they go through a montage.
Yeah, we do get his backstory. Yeah. No, that's accurate. It's just Mike and his associates, not to mention some of Gus's people, including Chow, who gets killed in this. He was seen in an earlier episode as part of sort of Gus's crew. Chow was the methylamine supplier for Gus. How do I remember? Anyway, he gets nabbed by the DEA, which results in, you know, the DEA is on to Mike, and Mike's kind of the hot one at this point, as well as Mike, we learn from this episode and from the next one, because Walter's upset in Hazard Pay, third episode. Mm-hmm. He's upset that any of their money's going to pay Gus's / Mike's former guys, the ones who did get caught and are in prison. And so anyway, this is part of Mike's kind of downfall. Mike is fiercely loyal.
Yeah,
and there's generally nothing wrong with that. The problem is, of course, Walt's not.
Yeah,
Walt only cares about the money and being the
best, the king. Yeah.
So.
Yeah.
So anyway, yeah. I mean,
in Hazard Pay, what I liked was the whole. Can't you get dehumidified? I love Saul taking them around to various places where potentially there could be a lab. No fast food, no laser blaze. I love when they go to the laser blaze place and both Walt and Jesse just look at each other and like, no.
Well, it's a recurring theme. Saul really likes the laser tag because, I mean, that's one of the businesses he wanted them to buy to launder the money through.
Yeah.
But yeah, the other note for this, or at least, well, I mean, there's a bunch of notes for this because this is a fairly important episode. But one, Walt just flat out moves himself back into his old house.
Yeah.
Against Skyler's wishes. So that's extremely creepy. Next, we get the first appearance of Vomino's Pest Control. And by the way, we get the return. This is one of the episodes that Skinny Pete and Badger come back in because they go and buy the music cases, which I thought was amusing because I use that stuff for audio video equipment. But anyway, yeah, we get a number of different things. So, I mean, Jesse and Andre are starting to see each other again, and Walt has a conversation with Brock.
Oh, so, you know, creepy!
Only a few episodes ago.
So creepy.
Next, Marie and Skyler kind of have it out because Skyler has a breakdown.
Yep.
And it's oof. I mean, so a number of things. I mean, first of all, Walt encourages Jesse to break up with Andrea.
Yeah.
Partially because he's a piece of crap. And also because he's worried about getting found out. But the real reason is he's a piece of junk.
Yeah,
he just doesn't want to have to see Brock or potentially feel bad or anything.
Mm-hmm.
Walt is terrible in this entire episode.
He's terrible in this entire season.
Yeah, I mean, this whole season is sort of a denouement to the show. It's a what happens if Walt wins sort of episode. And most shows, or episode, season, most shows don't get the chance to do that. Like, most shows would end with the hero, quote-unquote, you know, being triumphant in season 4 and getting rid of Gus.
Yeah.
But, of course, Walt's no hero.
Yeah, no.
And so, yeah, we get the, you know, Walt is basically now Scarface. I mean...
God. Yeah.
It's a great series, but man, like, this season wears on you, especially the last few episodes, but...
Yeah, anyway. the last few wear on us, but we'll get to those. The thing about Hazard Pay, before we move on to the next one, the house tent montage... I just had to laugh at that. Like, look, I get that's what they're going to be doing. That's how they're going to be. They're basically going to be having mini labs inside people's homes, as they, you know, tent for bugs and all that stuff and fumigate. But just the way that was shot, the way that the cinematography was done for that, and the music behind how the camera moved as each house got tented, that was just hilarious. I found that just... so funny.
The other note is that particular montage, the one with all of the tents, which, by the way, I'm pretty sure is actually inclining overall, but anyway, it's meant to signify that Walt's cancer is back. The tents popping up one after another, time-lapsed. It's the cancer cells returning in Walter, and it's the cancer spreading, which is an intentional visual and really smart, because at that point in the season we were wondering like what Walter's health was at, because he hasn't really shown a whole lot of signs of the cancer lately.
Yeah.
Anyway, 51.
Yeah, 51. Car Wars. Oh,
that montage was great. Just back and forth, back and forth. That was hilarious.
I mean, Walt, it continues to go off the rail, but we get Jesse and Lydia sort of facing off. There's GPS trackers on their barrels.
Yep.
Skyler continues to go nuts. Like, there's a number of different plot lines in this.
Well, the GPS trackers, I mean, that was all Lydia. She's just becoming more and more unhinged. This episode has Skyler's famous pool scene.
Yeah. Goes for a swim.
Yeah. That was good. Their conversation about the plan as well, like, that just, wow. Some of the conversation that they have in this season, when they do get to talk to each other, are just so great for both of their characters to see how much is she going to compromise herself for him.
Yeah, it's so some more like behind the scenes / or stuff that you can see that you may not notice. One is Skyler changes her entire wardrobe over the course of the season.
Yeah.
She's in the sort of dull colors that Walt used to wear when he was kind of beaten down and that kind of thing.
Mm-hmm.
And that's intentional. The other one, of course, is Walt and Jesse reverse colors as the season goes on.
Yep.
And by the end of the series, Walt is in the clothes that Jesse wore in the premiere, and Jesse's in similar clothes to Walt, which was really neat. intentional, like to show that how the characters are evolving. Yeah. I really liked the Skylar stuff. The fact that, yeah, her color palette as a character just goes down and down as the time goes on and things get crappier for her.
Yep.
Yeah, and I mean, we get they flat out, you know, are talking about whether or not to kill Lydia, which Mike's in completely in favor for, which is interesting. And then Walt, of course, goes against it because he doesn't want to lose any time.
Yeah.
And Jesse gives him a nice new watch.
That only lasted till the end.
Yeah, and I mean,
I forgot that Jesse had given him that, because before we recorded the episode, folks, I've watched the fifth season over the last week and a half or so, and I've taken notes as I've gone along, but up until watching the final two episodes about 2 or 3 hours before we recorded this, I forgot that Jesse had given him that watch.
And then we get the last line of the episode is creepy when Walt tells Skylar, the person who gave me this wanted me dead too. He changed his mind, Skylar, and so will you. I'm paraphrasing, but yeah.
And then we get episode 5.
God, I love this episode.
That was a good one.
Dead Freight. So basically, the majority of the episode's a fantastic train job. This is one you basically just have to watch. There's not an awful lot to it. I mean, they're stealing a train load of methylamine. It's a really well thought out plan. This is an amazing episode. And then it all gets undone at the end as a kid gets... a kid like comes across what they're doing, and Todd, you know, shoots him.
Yep.
It's Drew. I can't remember the last name now.
Drew. God.
So, I think it's Drew Sharp is the name.
Yeah,
of the kid.
Yeah, that's what it is, Drew Sharp. Yeah, I only have 4 because you're right. I was just watching this episode when I, you know, normally I take a lot of notes, but when it's just an episode that you just have to watch. Walt planting a bug in Hank's office, that's...
yeah, that's major, and he does it major. Awkwardly.
Yeah, very.
Pretends to be broken up, and...
Yeah. I mean, I like Cranston's acting for it, but as the Walt character, where Walt is now, that just... Yeah, you're right. Ugh. Second note, Lydia's gonna get it. Like, I know she's on the hit list at some point.
Yeah, I mean, Mike flat out voted to kill her in the previous episode.
Yeah, robbing a train. Okay, then that was cool. At least they didn't go up in bandit masks. Is this a robbery? No, it's a science experiment, which kind of would have fit in with Walt.
Although they could have, since Walt's in. Anyway,
it could have.
I liked how they use Bill Burr's character to Kubi to stop the. The train, of course.
Yes, that was hilarious. That was great.
You know, Mike's the lookout, and then Walt, Jesse, and Todd are draining the methylamine, and it's all really well done, and it's all really... It's great tension, it's shot really well, and that kind of thing. And then, yeah, the finale, which was heartbreaking, where, you know, Drew just waves at them. Todd waves back, proving what a great guy Todd is.
Yeah.
And then draws his gun and kills him.
Oh my god. The dude just...
What's funny is later on, I guess, they'll do it now. I mean, later on, well, first of all, Jesse Plemons is amazing as Todd in this whole series.
Oh, he is, yeah. I don't dislike him.
A lot of his stuff is ad-libbed because he understood the character more than even the writers.
Okay.
And... I'll get to that. Like, a lot of his stuff with Lydia is ad-libbed, and the way he's, you know, creepily attracted to her. For example, like, the episode where he picks up the cup of coffee and wipes her lipstick off it. You know, that was ad-libbed by him.
Yeah.
As something creepy Todd would do. But anyway, he's great in this episode, and he's so just creepy overall, because I think it's the second last episode where he's watching the video and Jesse's talking about, you know, Drew Sharp being killed on video. And Todd's laughing because he's thinking, like, ah, good times. I remember that. Like, he thinks he's buddies with Jesse and Walt and, you know, they're all friends. And he's like, ah, oh, remember that cool time when we robbed the train and I had to kill the children, you know.
That's not... It's funny you tell me that this is all ad-libbed by him, because... To me, it seems like it would be something that Vince would write in, because
a lot of the stuff with Lydia is what's ad-libbed, but I mean, the stuff with, you know, Todd laughing and being that, like, much of a sociopath was all meant.
Yeah.
But yeah, I mean, you know, Vince on the podcast would always say, you know, it only matters if you've got really good actors to pull off what you're writing. And yeah, mm-hmm. Jesse Plemons does a great job, and you're right, like, Aaron Paul... through this episode and then the next one, when he's, you know, obviously, you know, we open with him completely broken up as they have to melt down the bike and the bike and the corpse.
Yeah.
I mean, yeah, and Jesse, you know, punches Todd because Todd's like, hey, remember the kid? You know, he's just chatting about it. Should be noted, too, Todd's, like, creepy, like, keeping the tarantula that Drew had on him.
Yeah.
Also was... severely creepy. I mean, oof.
Just, oh, God, I've got chills.
Yeah, so anyway, Jesse wants to leave in the next episode.
Buyout, yeah.
Deservedly so, and wants them to sell the methylamine to Declan, who would get introduced. Declan, the actor who plays him, I don't think it's this scene. I think it's later on, the Say My Name scene. He's super duper sick in real life and just could barely talk. And
oh, jeez.
Just some of those things you don't think about when you're watching it on TV. But anyway, so I mean, Jesse wants out. Walt obviously doesn't want him out because Walt just wants to keep cooking. I mean, I can't talk about the next episode without bringing up one of my favorite scenes of the entire season, which is the terrible / amazing dinner scene with Walt and Jesse at dinner with Skyler, telling him, you know, like, oh, did Walter ever tell you about my affair? Like,
yeah.
And Jesse's just shoveling green beans the entire time and just trying to do anything but talk.
Yeah, the dinner scene was awesome. The dinner scene was great.
Oh, Lord.
Yep. So, I mean, Mike also wants to sell, and Walt's the only one that doesn't. Walter ends up hiding the methylamine, and, you know, Mike's gonna kill him, which, oof. Let's be honest, Mike probably should have at this point, but anyway.
Yeah, the series would be over if he had, but, yeah, Mike should have killed him.
Be a much happier ending, is my point.
Yeah, very true. I mean, with what happens at the very end of the series,
two episodes are just a repeated gut punch.
Yeah, I would almost say the last four, 13 to 16. We'll get to it, but I'm just saying, it's like, if you had Mike kill Walt now, would it be great for the characters and the story of the, like, what's going on in the show continuity? Yeah, but for us and dealing with it and whatever and having a great show to watch, no.
Yeah, well.
So, episode 7.
Yeah, the next one just rolls right into it with Mike, Jesse, and Walt meeting with Declan this time. And we get the sweet Say My Name.
Yeah.
bit, which is the title of the episode too, but anyway,
yeah,
it's outstanding. And yeah, so he buys Mike out, And, you know, Mike decides he's going to continue to pay Gus's boys / his boys.
Mm-hmm.
And, you know, gets ready to leave permanently. Because, I mean, the DEA in this episode and the previous ones have been all over both he and his family. So Kaylee and, you know, Kaylee's granddaughter and then his daughter-in-law. And just, so, I mean, things aren't going well for Mike. He has the law all over him, and...
Outside of Jesse's slow eventual turn later this season, Mike is by far my favorite character of this show. The entire show. Mike is awesome. And it just sucks how Mike had to go out.
So, I mean, Jesse and Walt, you know, Jesse wants his money. Walt ends up cooking with Todd, who, Todd's like his dream student, because, I mean, Todd is just there to, like, listen and not talk back, et cetera, et cetera. And, I mean, it's just, whatever. So, Todd's terrible. And then we end the episode, and this is heartbreaking. So, first of all, Mike ends up just leaving his granddaughter at the park.
Mm-hmm.
Because the police are there and they're on to him, and it's all mostly Walt's fault. So Mike calls Saul and wants his go bag so he can leave. And so, first of all, Mike makes a mistake and refuses to let Jesse help because he doesn't want Jesse to get in trouble, so he asks for Walt to help.
Not good, Mike.
No, that's his undoing. So, I mean, it's a great scene. And, you know, Walt just wants the names of the guys who Mike's paying off, because Walt's going to kill them.
Yeah.
Or have them killed, I should say. But anyway. And Mike insults Walt's ego, which, by the way, you know, Mike's 100% dead on with it. But then, of course, you know, Walt storms off, and we find out that he stormed off to go get a gun, and he kills Mike.
Yeah.
And, yeah, it's terrible. We get our first F-bomb of the season, which I liked, though, with Mike just telling him to shut the fuck up and let him die in peace.
Let me die in peace, yeah.
Yeah. But, yeah, I mean, Walt... It's funny, because Walt realizes that killing Mike was unnecessary, that he could have gotten it from Lydia, but I mean, Walt's a bad person. I mean, all he really cares about is his ego.
Yeah.
As we see in the next episode, like he doesn't even care about covering up for himself, et cetera, et cetera. It's just, I don't know, he wants to be.
Yeah. With episode 8,
the mid-season finale should be noted.
Yes, the mid-season finale. Oh boy, this one. When this first started, I thought we were starting a whole new storyline. I didn't realize at first. And again, this goes to me not really being in the fandom of the show. I didn't realize the guys that Walt was talking to are the new hitmen. I just thought that they were... When we first see them without Walt there, I just figured, oh, well, this is somebody coming after Walt. And then we find out that those are, you know...
Trump supporters.
Every fucking episode!
I can't help it. Listen, you introduce a bunch of white supremacists, what am I supposed to think? So... Anyway, yeah, joking aside, so there's about a dozen great portions of this episode. I mean, we get a pair of montages, but no, I don't know. I really liked the prison / everybody gets killed within a few minutes.
2 minutes,
it's less than 2 minutes, across three different prisons, and
yeah, that
all
was
of
good.
Them die. And
that almost reminded me of... the scene in Daredevil season 2 when Punisher gets out, when he's in jail.
Yeah.
And he's killing it. That's honestly...
You don't have to remind me about it.
I know I don't have to remind you, but I'm reminding the audience because they may not know what the fuck I'm talking about. I know I don't have to remind you. You're the... I get it. End all, be all, you know.
They better.
I am not worthy. Anyway, but seriously, the under 2 minute between three different jail killing scene, that reminded me of the Punisher attacking everybody in the jail scene in Daredevil season 2.
It crushes Hank to the point that he confides in Walt, which, great pick there.
No, wrong decision, Hank. You said you enjoy the montages. I like the Crystal Blue Persuasion song montage the best out of the two. Oh, that was great. That's I need to find that song. Holy crap, I like that song now.
Yeah, I actually have it on my iPod. Because of, anyway.
Oh, cool.
So... Yeah, and I mean, Walt, this was just an amazing episode. And I mean, it's interesting that Jesse now is smart enough to be afraid of Walt. Because, I mean, he knows Walt killed Mike. Jesse's not a complete idiot. And, you know, Walt comes over and he, like, reminisces about, you know, cooking the simple days of cooking meth in the old RV, the good times.
Yeah, stroll down memory lane.
I liked the final portion of the scene, too. You know, Walt gives him two bags. And there's part of me in my head going like, oh, Jesus, probably contains Mike's head or something. but no, it was actually, you know, Jesse's share of the money. And it's weird because, I mean, this, you know, it's we're pretty much completely tied up. Most of the loose ends are gone. You know, Hank's case is pretty much gone, Jesse's done, etc., etc. And then Hank goes to take a dump and undoes pretty much everything when, you know, just looking through, and of course he finds Gail's gift to Walter.
Yep, my other WW.
Yeah. And he has an immediate... I liked that we had the immediate sort of callback to that conversation.
Yeah.
That he had with Walt way a couple seasons ago, where, you know, he tells him, like, Walter White, and Walt's like, you got me.
You got me, yeah.
And of course, yeah, we know that he did. And that's how we end this kind of half season, was we end it with, you know, Hank looks up on the toilet, and he now knows, holy shit, you know.
Yeah. My final note for the episode, well, shit, Hank. this was a great mid-season finale, even though I'm watching them now full-on all the way through, but this was an episode that if I was watching this series at the time that this was airing, this would be really, really agonizing for me to have to wait for the show to come back.
Yeah, trust me, it was.
I know.
We would talk about it at work like every day about, like, oh, man, what's gonna happen, because at the time there wasn't a whole lot of other shows on with this type of cliffhanger and that kind of thing. Like, Game of Thrones was huge at this point, but the books existed, and so, like, I had an idea of what was happening in the future, etc., etc. This was like a genuine cliffhanger that you had no real idea.
Yeah, absolutely.
And we jump straight into, you know, we get the... I loved the flash forward of the White House.
That was awesome.
Yeah, and seeing, like, Heisenberg spray painted. So at this point, we know that, you know, whatever happens, people know Walter White was Heisenberg, and the house is, like, a mess. And, you know, he comes and he retrieves the thing of ricin that he hid there earlier. Yeah. I liked the scene, by the way, where he sees his neighbor. Hello, Carol.
Hello, Carol. And she just flips out. Yeah.
Yeah. yeah. And I mean, I loved that they just absolutely went straight into it. Like, the end of this episode is Walter and Hank facing off, and Hank basically telling him, I know who you are.
Yeah. I know your name.
Yeah. And then Walter, you know, threatens him back. But I just liked that. Most shows would have tried to probably just draw that out. And instead, like this one, they immediately went straight into it. And, you know, we find out that also that Walt's cancer's returned, and he hides. Well, he tries to keep it from his family, but he starts undergoing chemo again.
Yeah.
And Jesse is unsurprisingly miserable.
Yeah, Jesse's arc in this season...
Because again, you know, like we said, we've said it before and over again, Jesse feels bad and Walt doesn't.
Yeah.
I mean, yeah, Walter, I mean, we saw it earlier this season, another one of my favorite scenes, when they're talking about Drew Sharp being murdered and Walt tells Jesse, you know, I have kids, you know, don't you think, how do you think I feel about this? And Jesse goes to leave and Walter's whistling, like...
Yeah.
Anyway,
The thing with episode, well, we're almost on to episode 10 at this point, with Buried, what I love here is Walt is scrambling at the beginning of this, because he has the guys, he has, what's his name and what's his name? Saul's guys.
Kubi and Huel.
Yeah, Kubi and Huel. He has them gather up the money. And the two of them are like, well, one of them's like, come on. You know, just do it once. We're not here to be channeling Scrooge McDuck. And I'm like, yeah. Oh, God.
Huel wants to just, you know, lie in it. And yeah, Kubi's / Bill Burr's telling him, yeah, we're not Scrooge McDuck.
Yeah. That's and I did not notice this until the finale. I did not know that where Walt buried his stash was where they first cooked.
Yeah, because if you look closely when he's rolling the barrel back, you'll see his pants that were thrown out the window of the RV in the pilot.
Yeah.
Which is a nice touch. Obviously, you know, in real life, it wasn't them. It's just it's sort of an Easter egg for the people who have been watching. But yeah,
absolutely. I'm gonna be saying this a lot, a few times this season. I finally like Marie when she is protecting the baby from Skylar. Holy hell, that scene! Oh my God! Oh boy!
Well, in general, like, when they're not trying to give her all these quirks, and I've said it before, she can be a good character. So, I mean, if they had kind of done this, from the start, it would have been nice. But, yeah, she's good in this. I should note, too, you know, somebody we haven't talked a lot about in the whole series, Hank / Dean Norris is terrific in this season, too.
Yeah.
He's a much bigger character at this point in the series, but yeah, he works just as well.
Yeah, no, I mean, well, the way I see Hank is he's the opposite side of the coin for Walt. I mean, it's good and bad, whatever else, but it's one of those things where because Walt has had this hanging over him for the longest time, and just basically it's right in front of his nose, but he doesn't see it yet. He's come close a couple of times, but and obviously he knows now, obviously. Yeah. But it's one of those things where I think the reason why Hank's character got so much better this season was because he finally figured it out. He finally has his guy, and emotional torture just like, holy crap, this is my brother-in-law.
And it's entertaining to see the battle of wits between them. You know, Walt's trying to stay one step ahead of Hank, and Hank's closing in on him, et cetera, et cetera. And yeah, I should note too, this episode is the end of Declan, as the Jack and his white supremacist crew kill all of them and take the methylamine and everything. Luckily for the show, but unluckily for poor Jesse, he's a crappy, Todd's a crappy cook. But anyway,
yeah.
So in this
Todd
one,
is a
Yeah, in this one we end with Jesse getting nabbed finally.
Yeah,
I mean, Hank has to know, you know, Hank put two and two together that Jesse's part of it. And yeah, Jesse unfortunately is the one that's most likely to crack because he's already going nuts from all the murdering.
Yeah. Everybody have an A1 day.
Mm.
I love later in the when we get to, I think it's episode 13 or 14, when Walter Jr. asks his mom, "Why do we have to say that? It's just what we say, dear." Whatever it was she told him.
It's also the same episode. We get the sweet exchange between Walt Jr. and Saul of, "Well, kid, you know, don't drink and drive, but if you do, better call Saul."
Call Saul. Yep.
God, Saul. Anyway.
We'll get more of him later.
Yep.
Yep. But yeah, episode 11 was great. It was so fun.
You want to know what he did? You want to hear about it?
Jesse, put out the lighter.
He poisoned a little kid. It ain't your old boy just because, you know, just as a move.
Walt's a bastard. Secret's out. We'll talk about it. But I need you to put out the lighter, okay? Look, Jesse. You see, I don't want to kill you.
And you don't want to be killed. So put it out.
You can't keep getting away with this! You can't keep getting away with it!
He won't. You really want to burn him down? Let's do it together.
I don't like episode 12, so I mean, 12, it, you know, again, like, it's pretty easy to sum up in this one. I mean, the bulk of it is Walt knows he needs to silence or get rid of Jesse. Skyler just flat out says, like, why don't you have him killed? Like,
yeah.
Skyler is at this point, well, I mean, I think she doesn't necessarily mean it. She's just kind of saying, like, well, you killed so many other people.
Yeah, you know? She's says, pointing out, yeah.
Yeah, she says, we've come this far, what's one more?
Yeah.
Walt, for whatever reason, just doesn't want to kill him, at least early on, although we end with Jesse's sweet phone call to Walt threatening him. And then we end with, you know, Walter calling Jack and his crew to kill Jesse.
Yeah. No, I love that. I love, again, another instance of me enjoying Marie's character finally is that between her and Hank, they're both stepping up to come in and deal with, you know, taking care of the kids and things like that. Because both, I mean, like I said before, Skyler is so compromised by Walt that I don't know how anyone could expect her to take care of her own kids.
Yeah. The only thing, and I mean, an instance that I guess he doesn't know him, but we also get, you know, in the end, Jesse doesn't go to the meeting with Walt.
Yeah.
And probably deservedly so, although who knows what would have happened. But I mean, the other half of this that I sort of don't like, because it reminds me that he's not the he's a good guy, but he doesn't know Jesse or anything. But I mean, Hank is willing to let Jesse die. Like, he doesn't care what happens as long as he gets Walt at this point.
Yeah.
And I mean, he even tells Gomez, like, you know, it doesn't really matter. Like, he doesn't like Jesse and he doesn't really care, you know, what happens as long as they get their evidence. So.
Yeah. Yeah. Jesse. What I loved about this episode, and I think it happened in the last, wasn't the last episode where the last episode ended? Yeah, the last episode ended on Jesse in the house with the gasoline. And then in the middle, like, between episode 11 and 12, it ends on such a epic note with Jesse, you know, just going off and spraying the entire house with gas, that in this episode, it opens up with such a quietness, I wasn't sure if we were ever going to get back to that to figure out what the hell happened. We find out that Hank showed up and basically convinced Jesse, hey, look, not, you know.
Yeah, to stand down.
Yeah. And I love that. I think that's great. You're right. Hank doesn't care what happens to Jesse, but I like the fact that the two characters can interact with each other without either one of them wanting to kill each other.
Yeah, I think I accidentally skipped over confessions because, yeah, whoops. Which is an important episode because, I mean, that's the one as well. I mean, we get the excellent Walter DVD of his confession to Hank, which completely, sets up
Hank,
and in the absence of evidence, if something happens to Walt, it would just be a he said, she said with, you know, that DVD versus whatever evidence Hank would have, which is not much at this point. So, I mean, Walt knows. So, you're right. That's how we ended because, I mean, Jesse is finally going to leave, go to the Disappearer, and God, I wish he had.
I know. Like, there's so many chances for Jesse to have. It's not going to be, you know, he's not going to be a self-made millionaire, but there are so many chances in this series for Jesse to make the right decision for himself, and he never does.
Yeah.
Not until the very end, but it's one of those things where it's why I said Jesse as one of the two main characters is by far the better liked main character because, as you said, he actually cares what happens.
Yeah, there's a likability to Jesse at least.
Yeah.
And by this point, there's none to Walter.
None to Walt at all.
And the only negative for this entire season is in this episode, too, is in Confessions. Not the one I skipped to, but anyway. So in Confessions, Jesse realizes that Huell pickpocketed the ricin and that Walt must have poisoned Brock.
Yep.
And he figures this out because Huell pickpockets his pot before he's going to leave.
Yeah.
So I love the show. But I think Jesse's pretty bright. But, yeah, that's a bit of a leap. I mean, I can see it. Like, it's not as though it's completely out of left field. But it's still pretty loose that Jesse goes, oh, this guy pickpocketed me easily. Wait, he must have pickpocketed me that time, too.
Yeah.
It's sort of minor. I mean, the show's good enough that... Yeah, and it's always been so good with the details, though, that this sticks out a little bit.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, I hate to say it, and I'm not trying to pick on other shows, but I mean, these leaps of logic, it's kind of normal for stuff, for other shows, especially network shows.
Yeah.
But, you know, for Breaking Bad, when you do something that requires even the slightest bit of leap, it sticks out like a sore thumb, because they've tried to be so careful and... Everything's so well made.
Yeah. Did we even see Huell pickpocket the ricin? We did.
Oh yeah. If you have to go back and if it's best, like the highest resolution you can find to do it. But yeah, and you can see him pickpocket the weed as well.
Yeah, I figured as much on that. I think what I love when it comes to Jesse and him actually getting to a point where he is using his brain, the realization expressions that Aaron Paul uses for Jesse's character, it's like, shit, bitch, he took the ricin off of me.
Yeah.
I just love that about Aaron Paul as Jesse. Oh, it's so good.
I'm also impressed that they had the... I mean, they very easily could have just had, oh, he took it and not bothered...
explaining it, yeah.
Well, that and not bothered having it actually happen on film.
Yeah.
But I mean, if you go back, and I tried, and I did this, if you go back and watch the episode, yeah, you can actually see him, you know, grab, you know, something, but man, do you have to be paying attention. Like, he's really good at it. And I don't remember, you know, if that took a whole bunch of takes or what. I wish I did, because I do know they talked about it on the podcast that, you know, the actor who played Huel is actually a comedian. But anyway, if I remember right, they were impressed with how good he was at it, that he didn't have a huge problem doing it, because, man, like, I would have been fumbling it. I would have knocked Aaron Paul over trying to get it out of his pocket. stop moving. Damn it, Aaron. I mean, Jesse.
Stop fidgeting.
Yeah. So, oops, I skipped forward into Rabbit Dog, which is the episode I mentioned before that...
Yeah.
You know, you mentioned it too, that Jesse gets cut off and...
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, well, gets picked up, and this is when, too, they have Jesse's admission of guilt and everything that Walt did on tape. And mm-hmm. then, yeah, they want to pick up Walt, but, I mean, he wants to get that last little bit, which is, you know, Hank uses Jesse as bait.
And then Walt's like, Todd, it's Walt. I might have another job for your uncle.
Yeah. No, don't kill Jesse.
You still owe me for Jesse. It's later.
So, yeah. I mean, we opened just before that Todd's trying to get better at meth, but it's still only 76%, and it's not blue. So,
yeah.
Her buyers aren't happy. This was when, you know... Todd receives a lucky phone call from Walt trying to, you know, get Jack to kill his uncle.
Yeah.
Oh, boy. Yeah, so meanwhile, they try to set up a sting on Walt by using the money to draw him out, which works. But unfortunately, Jack and his gang... you know, went with him.
Yeah.
As, you know, Walt thinks Jesse's going to kill him, and he makes the mistake of calling Jack and his crew and have them come out there, and oh boy.
Well, he calls them off, but obviously they're not going to listen.
No, I mean, we end with the shootout.
Oh, that shootout. So good.
Hank gets one last call to Marie, and I hate to say it, but I mean, when the phone call happened, I knew he was dead. But
yeah.
But on the opposite side of that, when Jack and his crew were coming, I knew everyone was screwed anyway.
Everyone was screwed anyway.
Yeah, it didn't feel like I just bought a boat, you know, cliche moment, because I mean, you already knew that everybody was...
See, you had to sit there and go and say, I just bought a boat. Now, the first thing I think of is, do we want to have Leo shoot the shark? In Lethal Weapon,
yes,
3 or 4. Yeah, I think it's 4. Anyway,
let's go, pal.
No, 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 no.
Wait. I watched Jane die. I was there. And I watched her die. I watched her overdose and choke to death. I could have saved her. But I didn't.
So I don't know. So first of all, that episode's fantastic. I know I summed it up quickly, but it's another one that you could just watch it. And the next episode is what I feel is the best episode of the entire series. Ozymandias, directed by future Star Wars director Rian Johnson, who's absolutely brilliant. But anyway,
well, this episode is by far the.
Perfect episode.
It is.
And we open with the aftermath of the shootout. I liked, Hank telling Walter, Walter, you're so smart, how are you gonna be so stupid? Jack made up his mind,
10 minutes ago.
Yeah. And anyway, of course, Jack kills them and Hank, just runs off with the money, leaving Jack's got at least some sort of an honor among thieves.
Leaves him one barrel.
Yeah, and Todd and
Todd's an ass. I hate Todd. Oh God.
Todd encourages Jack to let Walt go. Now we get more of Walter being such a piece of shit. This is when my disdain for Walter turned to outright hatred. So he turns in Jesse.
Yeah.
And as they're pulling him away, Walt just says to him, "I watched Jane die."
Yeah, this is the scene you were talking about a couple episodes ago of the podcast, yeah.
Oh, I mean, if you didn't despise Walt,
I'm right there with you.
That is the scummiest thing when he does. I mean, he could have just let, Jesse go, but no, he's like, I gotta take him with me.
Which is ironic because of what happens at the end. Because isn't it, we'll get to it, but isn't it Walt that tackles Jesse?
Yeah, he saves him and ends up taking shrapnel or a bullet.
Yeah.
Whatever you want to call it.
We'll get to that, anyway, but it's one of those things where, in this episode, it's like he wants to hurt Jesse as much as he possibly can.
Well, there's still something in Walt in that finale because he sees what... So in this episode, getting back to it, Jesse ends up chained up and in a cell, in absolute chains where he's got to cook. And Todd... puts up a picture of Andrea and Brock basically as a threat to him to keep cooking.
Yeah.
And, we'll get to it, but later on, Jesse has sympathy for him, even though Walt's a complete piece of shit. Walt.
This episode has everything, folks. It really, Ozymandias has everything you could want from this series. I can't even find a note in here that I wrote down that I didn't like any part of this episode because.
Well, everybody has it out too, right? Marie has it out with Skyler that, Walt has been caught, but they realize fairly quickly that doesn't, and then Walt Jr. ends up discovering the truth about his dad.
Skyler
that he's just as bad, or sorry, she's just as bad.
She's just as bad. Yeah.
Oh
yeah. And the end of the by the end of this because Walt is like, oh no, it's okay, but we still need to leave, get everything in it together, blah blah blah. And Walt Jr. goes off on him, and they all have a big old fight and whatever else.
Walt
and Skyler get into a knife fight and cutting Skyler, and Jr. ends up on the phone with the police and everything else. And Walter takes Holly, and oh my god, just what the. Walt! Oh my god. At least he had the common sense to leave her at the fire station.
Well, the end of this is amazing, where Walt calls her and he's got to pretend that he's angry with her, but he's...
Yeah.
You know, Bryan Cranston's acting is perfect, as he cries the entire time, because in reality he knows, you know, it's over and the jig is up. Everybody knows his life is over. Yeah. And the last... You know, in theory, the last conversation he's going to have with his wife, who he does legitimately love, but his last conversation with her is him, you know, calling her a bitch and just being, you know, mean to her, just so that it kind of takes the,
sting out of it.
Yeah, well, that, and like, she doesn't seem guilty. It takes the eyes off of her and makes it seem like she wasn't going along with it. As well as we get some really good work from Betsy Brandt, who, of course, in the same phone call, discovers that, you know, her husband's dead. That, you know,
Again, that's... I'm finally enjoying Marie, that they're actually, you know, letting her in on what's going on, that she's not kept in the dark. Because of that, her character changes. She doesn't become this... What... To me, she has been this whole time was this just, you know, oblivious little housewife that doesn't want to see the worst in anybody. And she's finally coming around. And like my note was about her was, wow, she's gotten a backbone now. That's great.
So.
Granite State.
The next episode, which completely broke me, but anyway,
I think it broke everybody.
Saul, we get the last moments of humor, I think, for it, as Saul goes to be disappeared as well. In a neat, you know, nod to continuity, Saul says, you know, if he's lucky, he'll be managing a Cinnabon in Omaha, which for which for people who have watched Better Call Saul know that's exactly what happens to him. But anyway... yeah, I mean, Walt tries to threaten Saul, but at this point, he is so ill, he just goes into a coughing fit.
Yeah, and Saul just walks away.
And then, I mean...
what's wrong with you?
So, Jack and the gang steal the confession tape for Jesse.
Yep.
And... You know, Todd wants him alive so that he can impress Lydia. And they threaten Skyler and Holly. Mm-hmm. But, you know, that's only to keep Lydia out of it. Again, this is Todd working for her.
Yeah.
And, you know, Jesse's cooking and now it's 92% purity and it's blue and... Etc. Mm-hmm. Etc. So meanwhile, Jesse escapes, and feeling that, you know, he has nothing left to lose, you know, he gets caught, and then Todd, you know, kills Andrea in front of Jesse, and threatens to kill Brock, and everything is awful.
Yeah.
So this episode was horribly depressing.
Yes, it was.
And, yeah, I mean, Walt ends up going with the Disappearer, and he's horribly lonely. In the end, he calls Walt Jr. at the school, and Walt tells him, you know, just hurry up and die. So, Walt lost everything at this point, and then he sees, you know, Elliot and Gretchen talking about how, well, you know, Walter was never really... involved with us, as they have to deliver a $28 million contribution for drug rehab, so that, you know. And that gets Walt's ego back in gear, and he flees before the police get there, because, I mean, he had, you know, called the DEA so he could get nabbed. And we end with him just not being at the bar.
Yeah. No. T- Todd needs also to die.
This was also a near perfect episode. It was completely different.
Yep.
It slowed things down completely, but it worked really well. And they got Robert Forster as a guest star. He's the disappearer, which is really neat. Nice.
Yes, love him.
Yeah, good get for them. And just... this season, these last few episodes were amazing. And now we have the finale, which is Felina, which is the... It's the chemical composition to something, as well as, if you rearrange the letters, it's finale.
Yeah.
There's a number of different things, but, yeah.
Yeah, no, it's pretty awesome all the way through. It's got everything, pretty much.
Yeah, and onto the finale. I mean, Walt steals the Volvo. He arranges, and by the way, all right, this was probably the last funny bit, as Walt recruits Badger and Skinny Pete to point laser pointers at the Schwartzes so that he can explain to them that, yeah. So he can explain to them that, they have to give all this money to Walt Jr. and Holly.
And see, here, before it was revealed that it was them, here I thought he really went out and bought, at least 4 or 5 sharpshooters. Because, again, the way that scene is done is he asks them, oh, that window is east-facing, and when I... And you've got window reflection. So a few times when the laser pointers were moving, I thought it was 2 or 3 guys, not just. I thought it was more than just 2 guys. But to find out that it was Patrick's kid, I'm like, oh my God, Walt.
Yeah. So I mean, and then that's also when he discovers that Jesse's still alive, because somebody's cooking blue meth, and he realizes it can only be, Jesse Pinkman.
Yep.
Walt goes, he buys the machine gun at this point, we get all that, and then he has a meeting, or he intercepts a meeting with Todd and Lydia, which was a nice touch, because he mentions that, Lydia, and this is something Mike had said earlier, that Lydia is very much a creature of habit. She does the meetings at the same place, the same time, every week.
Yep. And she uses... I will never, ever in my entire life ever use stevia. Ever.
Especially now. It could be ricin. So...
Yeah, exactly. I was wondering when he went back to the house, when we have the Heisenberg thing, I was wondering why he went back for the ricin.
Yeah.
And obviously now we know.
Well, with the slow-mo of her pouring it in, I kind of figured that, okay...
Yeah, absolutely.
She just signed her death warrant.
Yeah. Well, because where Walt was at the time, you got to notice, and I noticed this. I didn't really realize this at the time, but while I was watching it, but I notice it now. Walt walks in and goes over to the counter for a few minutes as she and Todd are talking, and then he turns around, and because she'd only had one thing of stevia already over there, and the waiter guy comes over and she says, oh yeah, more stevia. And so Walt was at the counter. That's like,
yeah.
I was like, wait, when did he? Because you're right. When she's pouring it in, we know. But I was like, wait, when? Oh, that's when he just like, wow. Walt, you crafty, crafty bastard.
So we get the final sort of conversations for everybody. So Marie tells Skyler that Walt is in town, but she doesn't know that, Walt's in the room. And we have one of my favorite conversations of the whole series. So, Walt gives Skyler the lottery ticket, which has the coordinates for Hank and Gomez's bodies out in the desert. And then B, he finally admits it was all for him.
Yeah.
That he did it because he enjoyed it. He was good at it, and it made him feel alive. And I really like that finally Walt has to face the fact, his whole, I'm doing this for my family stuff was all bullshit.
Bullshit, yeah.
And, you know, he gets to see Walt Jr. from afar, but obviously he can never, ever talk to him again.
Yep.
And just, it's nice because I shouldn't say it's nice. fine, I don't care. It's nice for me because, I mean, it shows that, you know, Walt's lost everything.
Yeah.
You know, his son is going to hate him for all time. His daughter's probably going to grow up hating him as well. And just, yeah, it's all gone. And we, you know, flash forward to Walt's meeting with Jack and everybody else.
Machine gun, bitch. Well, I wish he would have said that.
Jesse
didn't know about it, but I...
Jesse like, had sir. His last bitch in the last episode.
Yeah.
But anyway, yeah. So, you know, Walt sort of draws things out a little by bringing up Jesse and Jack, you know, orders having him brought out. Now, whether or not Walt did it just to stall or because he wanted Jesse dead as well, I think maybe he thought that Jesse was working of his own volition, that what he was saying was true. And,
absolutely. And
Walt was going to kill him. But then he sees
that, you that's know, not Jesse's the case.
Yeah, terrible condition.
Well, let's talk about Jesse's terrible condition at first for a minute here, because it's one of those things where I forget which episode it was. I don't think it was this one. It was one where Aaron Paul was looking almost directly at the camera. The left side of his face is in profile and the right side of his face is kind of hidden. I almost thought that they pulled his eye out of the socket. There's a scene where it's like after they beat him up, there's a scene where he almost looks like Two-Face because...
No, they're not that evil.
Well, I said almost. I didn't say, you know, just like. I said almost. But yeah, no. You know, Walt sees how badly they're treating Jesse, and then I think that's when he realizes, well, I might as well save him.
Yeah, so he dives on Jesse and then...
hits the button.
Yeah. I liked that Jack survives. And he tries
so
to
Walt
beg.
Can kill him. Yeah, yeah.
He tries to beg for his life. You may want to talk here.
I was just waiting. But yeah.
I'm just dying.
Gotta stop doing that blue meth, dude.
I wish.
So,
Walt kills Walt, him, like, mid-sentence, because he's trying to bargain for his life.
And we never find out where the money is.
No, and that's fine. You know, I don't think he...
And it's fine. It's not that big of a deal, because Walt dies anyway. But I would have liked to have found out for the about the money simply for Jesse.
And before then, we get this extremely satisfying scene of Jesse choking Todd to death.
Oh, yes. Finally.
And then, yeah, Walt, you know, tosses Jesse a gun and asks him to kill him.
Yeah, and of course, Jesse, again, his moral compass is higher than Walt's, so Jesse's not going to... No, he's like, do it yourself. I really... Again, he could have had one more. Do it yourself, bitch.
No. And then Jesse's... You know, it's also because Jesse's had enough listening to Walt, so...
Yeah, absolutely.
Jesse leaves and drives away. Vince Gilligan has a couple times has gone on record saying, well, he probably got caught, let's be honest. But
I like
to imagine he didn't.
Yeah. And then I mean, Jesse, after all this time, finally deserves a happy ending.
Yep. And, Walt gets the call from Todd's phone, from Lydia, and tells her that she's dead, too. And that's pretty much it. Jesse, you know, looks at Walt and then drives off, and then, you know, Walt goes to the lab and dies.
Fairly satisfying ending. Like I said, Jesse wins, Walt loses. I assume all the family members are going to be fine.
Well, relatively, but yeah, I mean...
I'm saying Skyler and Walt Jr. and Holly and...
Yeah.
you know, Maria. Okay, yeah. I mean, obviously Hank's dead, Steve's dead, all that. But I mean,
everybody else.
I love how the internet will bring up crap and assume crap just to assume crap to see if they can get shit started. About 2.5 months, because I actually did watch the finale when it, because it was back during my first watch through of the entire series on Netflix. So I was watching these episodes as they aired, and I did watch the finale, and I watched part of the Chris Hardwick talking bad thing, not all of it, but I watched part of it. And about 3 or 4 or 5 months after that, people are like, oh, Breaking Bad, season 6, it's happening. I'm like, no, it's not. Walter White is dead.
Oh, well, yeah, that always happens. But, yeah, no, he's deceased. I mean, Vince Gilligan said it won't happen. And if he were to ever do anything, it wouldn't involve, you know, the White family, which, of course, it doesn't, because he did end up doing something. And so now
Better Call Saul.
Yep. I mean, Better Call Saul, we see Saul after the conclusion of Breaking Bad in these, like, terribly depressing black and white scenes, because, I mean, he's just crushed. He was never happier than when he was Saul. And so, the series is him kind of remembering how he became Saul while still being trapped in his future/present.
Yeah.
And, I mean, we'll see how that all ends.
Yes. Much, much later. We're going to comedies after this, folks. Oh, my God. I need a good turn-off-your-brain comedy at this point. Like, I enjoyed watching through this series again. I still don't have the same love for it as you do, or the same love for it that everybody else in America and Canada have
But at least, unlike before, I think you acknowledge that it's really well made.
Which was
always my point, people have different tastes. It's perfectly fine if people don't like it. That's great. But, at least, acknowledge the fact that, so much care went into making every single shot. It's the same with me in video games. Like, I'm not a huge fan of the Dark Souls series, but holy cow, it's really well made, and a lot of effort goes into it.
Mm.
And I can understand why people would really like it. It just happens to not be for me. And that's sort of the same thing. Like, there's lots of movies and TV shows I've watched, and I go, that was really good. It's just wouldn't be something I, normally would sit down and choose to watch.
Yeah, I think when we eventually come back around to doing Better Call Saul, I think what I'm going to like about this the most, Mike is back. It's because it's before he's dead.
He dies in every episode. No, I'm just kidding.
Stop it. Don't even.
Well, it wouldn't make much sense if he did anyway.
Yeah, no, that wouldn't make much sense at all. Overall, I got to give Breaking Bad 0 to 5 stars. I got to give it 4.5. There was like maybe 1 or 2 moments that I just kind of felt were there, but the rest of it, it's just so good.
I'm going to stick with a 5, I guess. I mean, I gave that to 3 and 4. The season's roughly on.
Yeah.
On par, so.
Yep. So that's our Breaking Bad coverage. I have no idea what's coming up next for Remote Control. I don't think I want to do this, but Dodd asked us something off air about if we ever done comedies on this show. We've done a little bit, but not full on season pass episodes for comedies. I might dive into 2.5 Men. I don't know. I might. I don't know yet. I've saved the resources in case I want to.
Why don't you do a good comedy like Frasier or Cheers or something?
Well, yeah, that's going to happen too, because I'm in the middle of watching Cheers again.
I'm just saying, why would you punish yourself with something even more depressing than Breaking Bad? Because when a comedy is bad, you can't Mystery Science Theater it or anything like that. It's just depressing.
Yeah.
And that's a bad show.
The best part of that show for me, because I was never a fan of Two and a Half Men, because Charlie Sheen passed his mid to late 90s acting career. I'm not giving a shit what the hell that guy does. But season 9, episode 1, when they finally kill his character, and all the guest stars and Dharma and Greg show up, Thomas Gibson and Jenna Elfman show up as their Dharma and Greg characters. I thought that was hilarious. But anyway, we're probably going to go where everybody knows your name, or we'll head up to Seattle to do something. I don't know yet. I'm not sure what we're going to do, but comedies may be what's up next on the ballot for Remote Control. Where can people find you online, sir?
I review something really funny like Logan. No,
Hey!
I'm at Nightbeat on Twitter. No, it's a great movie, my point. The joke is that it's horribly depressing.
We're trying to go away from that now. I mean, this is depressing enough.
How about The Shield? That's a real laugh, right?
If he didn't live in Canada, folks, I'd be kicking him in the nuts right about now.
Yeah, that would be a good idea.
Yeah, I know, obviously. Oh, God. You can find me at TFG and Mike on Twitter. You can also follow at Geekcast Radio, at This Week in Geek on Twitter. Join us next time for whatever the hell. I don't know yet. So tune in next time when we will all be fighting over the remote control.
Breaking Bad 2, Electric Boogaloo.
Because the world needs another movie podcast.
The Geekcast Radio Network presents for your listening pleasure, The Cinema Geek.
Hosted by Amanda, Kevin, Matt, and Dan.
Each week we dive headfirst in the landscape of movies as we discuss movie news, play movie games,
go in-depth on reviews,
and even have a top 10 countdown or two.
Also, don't miss our director retrospective series, where we review noted directors' movies film by film.
Bottom line is, if you love movies and love podcasts, you need to experience The Cinema Geeks.
You can find us on iTunes, Blog Talk Radio, or geekcastradio.com.
Please don't give Vince Gilligan a moment of, hold my beer.
Nah, I'm pretty sure. Actually, not pretty sure. I mean, he said a bunch of times that, Better Call Saul's it.
Is it, yeah.
He has no real interest in continuing.
And honestly, he has to go on to something else. He really, I really do dislike when certain creators end up being pigeonholed and
oh,
one,
yeah, but I mean, at least
one
in,
note.
Yeah, at least in this case, I think it was just because there was such a demand for it. And then,
well, right, yeah.
In his defense of it too, as well, I mean, it's Better Call Saul feels completely different than Breaking Bad does. It's a very different show, at least.
And that's
good. It would have been easy for him to just do the same thing again, but it's a lot less dramatic. There's a lot less tension to it. It's not.
Yeah. Yeah, and that's a good thing, because the biggest person I come up with that has a one-note career is Lucas, because until he sold his soul to the mouse, let's face it, unless you're an Indiana Jones fan, unless you've seen American Graffiti or THX. As soon as you hear the name George Lucas, everybody, Star Wars! Heaven forbid Vince Gilligan end up being like George Lucas and goes back and tries to change. I don't think he ever will. Thank God he's smarter than George, but
I think it's tough just because, or it would be tougher for him too, though, because he does have X-Files under his cap. I mean, all of the good years of X-Files were him, not Chris Carter. whether people know that or not. But, I mean, he was the lead writer for quite some time on the show.
Thank you for tuning into Remote Control. There are several ways to get in contact with us and leave feedback for the show. You can visit the website, geekcastradio.com. You can email us, feedback@geekcastradio.com. You can leave us feedback in iTunes. Follow us on Twitter @geekcastradio. You can become a fan of us on Facebook by searching Geekcast Radio Network. Call the voicemail line. Tell us the show you're leaving the message for and your name. 502-526-5821. We hope you enjoyed the latest episode of Remote Control, in which that you'll tune in next time to hear what TV topic we'll be talking about. Get those remotes ready, because we are all remote controlled.